You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance and Dell, 713-780-3776. Do we have a winner?
We have a contestant.
Yeah.
And then we'll see if that person...
If they are a winner. Justin. Well, if they're playing Justin, they're a winner.
Well, judging by last week, when all you have to do is go 1-4.
1-4. 20%. That's all you have to go. How about that? That's all you have to do. And you beat Justin. That's how terrible and horrible he is.
You almost have $200 worth of Del Frisco's in your pocket right now.
Right now. And how about this? We do a pick'em thing, a weekly. We pick all the games, and Justin's leading it.
So does he just freak out when he
does
this?
I don't know. He is. He's a gag. He's the anti-clutch. The anti-clutch. And it's so amazing how not clutch he is. What are you doing? Who's coming in here? Our intern's coming in?
He's bringing food? Why is he coming in? I thought we only allowed people in there who bring food.
Yeah, the interns bring food? Oh, you're eating one of those oats and honey things out there, aren't you?
Yeah. Did he bring that?
No, I don't know who brought
that. Why are you setting up a chair?
Why is the intern coming in?
Because he wants to take a little shot at me.
He wants to take a shot at Lance.
Now Dell's all for it.
No, I just want to know how'd you come about him wanting to take a shot at you. How do you know this?
He said I had a hot take last night on Twitter, and it happens to be I had the right side, and some people on Twitter don't have a good mind for sports.
Where is the intern?
He's out there.
What's his name?
Colin.
Lance?
Colin.
Thank God.
No.
You bailed him out.
I think he knows. Cause didn't you
set
him up
with
something?
No, I'm the one who got him an interview with Nick Scherfield.
Oh, yeah?
He may start working for Nick.
Oh, yeah?
As a marketing guy. Yeah, he played baseball. I think he was a center fielder at Villanova.
He's a Philly guy.
He's a what?
Guy. He's a Philly guy.
He's a Philly guy? Oh, yeah. He said Sixers, the Eagles will...
Or the Eagles, whatever.
The Eagles will win a playoff game.
Yeah.
Colin. Well, now, immediately, you're too dumb to come on here.
We've had a lot of dumb people on this show. I don't know what you're talking about.
Bring him in here. I'm not going to say it until he gets in here, but he said it was a hot take, and I understand this. It's just that I can think... What some people consider outside the box. Listen, I'm watching Queen's Gambit. I'm just about to finish today. My mind works very similar
to
hers.
This. I hate when he does.
And then I see whatever TV show I'm watching becomes.
He adopts the personality of the show.
But that's what's happening now. I see the board faster than other people, Dell. That's
no,
just
you
the truth.
Don't. No, you don't. Yeah,
maybe you do her drugs, and you lay in bed, and you see stuff on your ceiling.
Yeah,
but it's not you seeing quicker and being smarter than everybody else.
I can see the board, and other people don't see it, and I see it, just like my past interference.
All right, so Colin is here. What hot take did Lance have last night?
So Lance felt the need to tweet after Patrick Peterson's PI against DK Metcalf, gave him the ball to 10, that this quote, this rule must be addressed at some point. Outlandish forever. Cap at 25 yards max. And then a whole chain of people kind of saying why that's a dumb take.
Yeah, and they were, they jumped in without really thinking about it.
Are you sure they really didn't think about it?
Or maybe you didn't think about it.
Whenever they would give a take back, you didn't really address the points. You didn't deconstruct their argument. You more so just reasserted yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Because if they didn't have a smart, if they just said why, that doesn't
make... I got to see this.
Well, here's the thing. You have to go find the people why, because... The same people said the same stuff. It's going to cause people to get tackled. Do you know in college football, I watch every single day, the pass interference penalty is 15 yards, which I don't think is enough. But they're just going to tackle players. If you tackle a player 15 yards down the field and the ball's not even in the air, that's a defensive holding penalty. That's 10 yards. That's not going to be 15 yards. And you can't tackle somebody who's already beaten you. Now, the idea that you're going to tackle down the field – I don't think it's going to happen because you don't see it happen in college football.
Well, they do it now. In the NFL, they do it. Once a guy makes a double move on him, they grab him and they hold him right there.
Now, the idea is that you would tackle. My problem with this rule is that anything that is three times a targeting penalty, something that is that is intentional, that is as egregious, that can cause head trauma. We saw a penalty. It was three times that yesterday, a pass interference. A 15-yard penalty is as egregious as it gets. Now, the only sport, one guy made a good made a point. I said, name another sport where something is that much more egregious than any other penalty. One guy goes, fouling out basketball. Dumbass, that takes six fouls, and then somebody else comes in. The only one is the red. What are you going to say?
That's easy, the red card.
The red card that allows for also, or a penalty kick.
A penalty, yeah.
A penalty kick to me. But a PK is the most.
Yeah, but the red card's the only thing that removes a player. Not just removes a player, removes your opportunity to replace
the player.
It's
not just a power play like in hockey. It removes a like if it happens in the first half of a match, that's
like
a big,
big deal.
Like
in the first 5 minutes, you're playing the next 85 down a guy.
Right.
The red card's pretty penal.
Well,
but the PK can switch
PK
a whole,
too.
It can cost you an entire game.
As valuable as goals are, to have a PK,
yeah.
Which the percentage of making your PK is so high, that is
very penal. I think that's the most penal in any sport. But the 46-yard penalty, I mean, even if you have 25, a 25-yard penalty is still a quarter of the field. So my argument that I made to one guy, I only answered like four because they're the same stuff over and over, is... If you have the ball at the 30-yard line and you get a 25-yard penalty, I mean, even from the 30, you're at the opponent's 45. Now, I'm not married to 25. I've said before, take whatever the distance is and you could subtract or just something that I feel like it needs to be capped. Like you shouldn't. I'm not, or the official is able to determine whether that was an intentional, whether that was in the course of, because this is determined a lot of times in basketball with, is it flagrant one, flagrant two? In soccer, is it yellow card, red card?
Again, you want them making more decisions that aren't cut and dry.
On this one, they eliminated they already eliminated, you know, the penalty going and looking at the interference. But what I would do is say, I want to address whether or not it was an intentional interference or is one that was just within the course of the play interference, right. Something that would happen. Because basic hand fighting and stuff like that, where you could call it on any play, I just think it's too much.
Okay, but you were so definitive that it was a 25-yard penal would be, you know, maybe a good makeup for it.
Right.
I get that maybe a spot foul isn't the right call, but if it's going to be 25 yards across the board, that really doesn't make a difference between a 26-yard pass interference penalty versus a 75-yard pass interference penalty.
What do you mean?
So, like, I mean, it'd be more the same.
Yeah. If you're on your own 25 and you commit one in the end zone, it's 75 yards. But if you're 26 yards down the field, it's only 25. They're both the same.
Well, it's the same. It's the same whether on a defensive holding. If it happens in the first 6 yards or 35 yards down the field, it's the same amount.
Right.
So what if maybe you did, instead of a spot foul and you placed the ball there, what if you did like a 10 yards from the spot of the foul? That way it's more fair.
10 yards minus?
The deeper the PI occurs.
10 yards minus?
Yeah, like if the spot of the foul
happens. I'm fine. I can put you on my committee. That's fine. That's what I'm talking about. You can be on my committee to determine this if the NFL will hire me. And you may have a job doing public relations. And this is one of the things you're going to have to do is try to lobby the NFL to get me the money.
What so money? Why do you need money?
If I'm going to be on a committee, I'm not doing it for free, Dell. These ideas they currently come for free. But if I'm going to.
Can we
really
Venmo you think tank for this them, committee?
Is there a jingle?
It's possible.
Pass interference.
No more PI. No more PI. But see, that's my point. Maybe we just need to think about this. I don't like the fact that you can have a 52-yard penalty when the most any other penalty in the entire sport is 15. Nothing's more than 15, but you have on a semi-regular basis, you can have a penalty that's three times that amount. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't know any other sport where they say the most penal thing you can do is this, only there's one other thing that's three times this. I don't know what it is. I don't know what
Well,
it
here's
is.
The thing. But no, again, we'll go back to the PK.
Or maybe a 30-yard penalty.
One goal in a soccer game is worth how much? Versus, okay, suppose you get a PI in the end zone and you're 40 yards out. He throws a bomb 50 yards out. That's one score out of how many scores in a football game?
Well, it depends. Every game can be
every game is different, obviously.
It can be
different. But the average score in a football game, though, is probably 45 points.
But it can be the difference between a touchdown and a field goal or a touchdown and no points. If you're throwing from the 50-yard line and it happens in the end zone and you get it at the one, and you're like, wow, that was both of them were hand-fighting there. Like, we've seen stuff like that.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is I'm not arguing if it's not as...
I'm just worried that it already is. I don't want to put more... The refs...
I'm making it
having
less...
Having them determine whether or not it was egregious or not egregious, whether or not it was intentional. It's already too difficult for them. It's already too difficult for them because they suck at it. I mean, we've seen them over the years. They're not good at calling this.
Like in soccer...
They make mistakes all the time.
Like in soccer, there is... You can get a red card for a clear denial of a goal-scoring opportunity. Like Lance is talking about, well, if it's a clear pass interference that keeps a touchdown off the board, like a grab on a double move. In soccer, they'll throw you out of the game. That's an automatic red card. So if you are stopping a clear potential touchdown, I mean, I kind of whip the spot foul. If you're going... If the guy's running by you... And yeah. That's a touchdown. If you don't grab him, you're stopping a guy from scoring a touchdown.
But you can't assume the double play. You can't assume that a quarterback is going to complete the pass. However,
but in soccer, you can't assume the goal is going to be scored because the goalie is still waiting for the guy.
You can't assume the double play.
But
in this case, you can't assume the double play. If there's interference by the runner at second base when you're throwing the ball, you get the double play.
No, but there's the don't assume the double play.
That's a different analogy, though.
It's the same analogy, and here's why. There are multiple things that have to take place to create a double play. That's why they say you can't assume the double play. More than one, and this is the baseball player, so he'll know.
But if I interfere, as the runner, I interfere with the throw to first, it is a double play.
That's
the penalty.
That's a different, you're talking about something very, very specific. But they do not assume double plays in Major League Baseball.
For scoring.
Well, but no.
Yeah, for scoring.
No. But for the fact that you can't assume a double play, meaning you can't, because multiple things have to happen, right? It's not just a second baseman's flip to short. Short has to catch it. Short has to make the throw, all that stuff. And then if it's in the dirt, similarly, you can't assume a quarterback is automatically going to complete every deep ball.
No, that's not. If you interfere with it, like if you interfere at second base with the throw to second to first, you do assume the double
play.
But
it can be a spot.
And if you do assume the double, you do assume the penalty.
But when you grab them, it's a spot foul. You don't get a spot foul for where it would have been on a double move. But on a double move, you don't get it way down the field. On a double move, you get it at the spot.
That's where you did it.
Well, what's the that's closer to 15 yards.
Right, but that's right. And that's what it is. That's what the penalty is now.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the one that is 50 yards down the field.
Well,
you've not been a big fan of that either.
No. And I'm the biggest not fan of is you underthrow the ball because you made a crappy throw, you get a penalty out of it. That's terrible.
And where does that penalty go?
That penalty goes at the spot of the foul. But again, it's not even about that. It's not. There should be no penalty at all. You threw a crappy ball, and you're getting.
No, but you can't.
The other team's getting penalty.
You fundamentally have to have, just because one guy's got his head turned and the other one doesn't, you can't penalize the guy who has his head turned, who has a right to make a play on the ball. The other guy is supposed to turn his head and find the football too. That's what you're taught. So it's the cornerback's fault for not turning his head.
If I'm just running with the guy. And then you turn and throw a crappy ball, and you try to go through me.
Well,
I've got the same right to the place that I'm at.
It's
got to
be. I agree as long as you're saying it's got to be catchable. If it's not catchable, I'm with you. If it's something so poorly underthrown, if it's a play you can make a ball on, but the guy blocks your route to it,
right?
If we're
both running down the field, I feel like I should have the right to run in my lane and stay there. Just because he threw a bad ball and you got to come through
I'm
running.
But your goal is to get the football. And so if the football is a little underthrown, you have the right to come back to the football. The other guy's got to turn his head. Technique tells him he's got to turn his head and find the football too. And if he doesn't do that, he shouldn't get bailed out because he didn't use his technique
properly.
He
should get bailed out because you shouldn't bail him out either because you threw a crappy ball.
But on a catchable throw, who says every pass has to be out in front?
Well, the only
rule
you rarely
for that.
See what Will Fuller did last week. You rarely see that.
What?
Where
get a touchdown
stopped,
after
was
a...
able to catch it in front of the guy kept running. He caught it and he scored. You rarely see that. Rarely. Okay. If the two guys are, that's all I'm saying. We got to take a break. Listen.
Colin was wrong.
I know he's an intern. He doesn't know anything.
He didn't know. It was a hot take.
Going to the playoffs. I think that's
it. What he's wrong about.
Hey, are you ready to build your dream home? Well, let the Loken Group sell your current one. How about this? Case and Horace, 4 days on the market, 39 showings, 13 offers, which drove the sales price up $15,000 over list price. That's a lot of money in your pocket, in their pocket, not yours. Well, are you going to call? You can listen. You want to move on your terms? The Loken Group lets you buy before you sell. It makes it possible for you to move when you're ready. Take the time you need to sell your current home for the best possible price. How long does it sell your home? Well, take to sell your home? Well, I'm going to tell you what. It's crazy. Right now, the average days on the market for the average agent, 51 days. For the Loken Group, 15 days. They're the number one group in Texas and number two in the world with Keller Williams. It is incredible what they do. And listen, call the agent in Houston. That's the only one that you should call. If I need him, I'm calling Lance Loken. It'll make you an immediate cash offer as well. All this is going on. All of this is going on with the Loken Group. It is amazing what they do. And you can achieve top dollar for your home. 281-861-4624. 281-861-4624. You're looking to sell your home? The Loken Group. L-O-K-E-N. TheLokenGroup.com.
Well, hello. To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 821 ESPN 97.5. We're way behind because of the intern.
Look at people on Twitter.
What's the name of the person
just
who won?
Just like Colin, the people on Twitter are just not smart. They don't get it.
What's the name of the person that won that's going to play beat the Lumber guy? Al?
Wait, hey, hold on.
It might be Alan. Dell, your favorite.
Hopefully.
Alex? Oh, no.
Hold on real quick. So you played college baseball Villanova, right?
I did. I played for a year. Yeah.
Okay, so did you play last year? Or would you have played last year?
No, I would not have taken my fifth year. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
That would have been your fifth year last year?
Yeah, it would have been my fifth year.
This past spring?
I only played 1 year at Villanova. I transferred to JUCO, played at Howard for a semester. Then I went back to Villanova just because I had some good opportunities there.
No. It's a good school.
So it wasn't about baseball.
No. I mean, ultimately, I saw myself like kind of struggling down the stretch. You know, and you can fight your way out of a slump like that. But in order to, you know, keep a career going in baseball, I didn't find it like risk rewarding enough to spend maybe 7-8 years in the minor for that one chance at a major league.
Right. No. You want to make some money. It's a hard life. Yeah. How are the girls at Villanova?
It's a different crowd than the South for sure.
Really?
Yeah. It's a lot of.
It's a smart school, so you're not going to get.
Well, it's just everybody I went to school at Tulane with. A lot of them came from New York and Massachusetts.
Well,
really,
it's
all
south,
over
though.
And Tulane, Philadelphia,
even
and they're
it's
like
a smart school. You got the, it's the South.
He just said that.
It's people.
South. Yeah, no. It's all different.
Oh, well,
it's
people. Worry, different.
It's people with connections whose parents need to have some strings pulled. It's a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a different world.
Oh, up in
up there.
Yeah.
Well,
it's supposed to be a good school, though, right? Villanova?
Yeah, no,
it's a really good school.
It's definitely really good.
Yeah,
really good school. Yeah, that's why you're not going to find a lot of talent.
What are you suggesting, John?
What about Rice?
What about Rice? John, are you suggesting? John, are you suggesting that smart girls aren't attractive? What are you saying?
What did your son say about Rice when he was there? What did JT say?
Gotta go.
Well, he probably looked at girls who went to Texas State or
something. He'd rather go Missouri State. Like, yeah. I'd rather go here.
Oh, much rather. Missouri State would crush them. It's, well, but it does. That's what it does. Anyway, well, he actually said, man, of course, he was in his major then. He said, Missouri State's harder than Rice. Missouri State, the classes that he took were harder than Rice.
That would be an upset, I think.
It's
most.
A huge upset.
Yeah.
That's
he was getting into his major then.
That's a 116.
Yeah.
Upset.
Yeah.
Missouri State's harder than
Rice. And
guess
what has happened? A 16 beat a 1.
It did happen once.
Yeah, and much like the next year, that 1 went on to win a national title. Rice is like, look, okay, JT, you won that round.
Go ahead.
But going forward, we're going to have the tougher classes.
But you know what?
Come back here again in your major, see what happens.
On that resume, guess what?
Yeah, Rice is going to win.
Long term, Rice wins. No question. But JT still got that on there too. So good. He's good.
So the intern helps Lance get more money. So what's the guy's salary, or is he still an intern? He's still an intern. It's part of the deal. You help me, you know, get money for children who are in need, for passenger, for the NFL who's in need, their penalty. I wonder if I'm going to get an email from somebody at the league office saying, hey, stay in your lane on these rules things, okay?
Yeah.
Do your drafting, draft boy. Stay in your own lane.
Keep committing
stop
fraud.
Stop telling us how we're supposed to do our – or pass interference penalties.
PI within 25 yards will spot a foul.
Yeah. It could work.
Or if it's within 5 yards, you can make that a 15-yard penalty. You make holding, no matter where it is, a 10-yard penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, defensive holding is only 5 yards. So, but it's an automatic first down.
I think I'm siding with nothing Lance says can be good, so let's scrap it.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you say that all the time. I mean,
yeah, I know.
No, it's consistent.
And I'm usually right. No, because I'm
you've
consistent.
You've lost your credibility on this.
I'm not a flip-flopper.
There's a possibility that he's right on this
There's no possibility.
You're going to stay with the trend.
Oh, who's the origin of the idea? Lance?
Well, he's not the first one to think this.
No, yes. But he's the one pushing it, so there's no way it could be good.
You can't. He's not credible any longer.
I'm not,
he's just shown
no,
it's a personal
I'm consistent.
Vendetta.
It's not personal.
It's a personal
I have years of back,
it's like you,
of backing to tell me it's going to be wrong.
Like, I'm Michael
listen,
Jordan, and he's LeVar Ball.
You're not Michael Jordan.
It's a trend. It's a trend that he's following.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm Jordan, and he's LeVar.
You're not Michael Jordan.
Okay.
And he could beat me Spinoulis. In one-on-one, but no, he averaged 2.2
you're
at
You're not
Washington
Jordan.
State.
You're Spinoulis. No one's ever going to see you play.
I'm not silly Spinoulis.
Yes, you are.
That's very disrespectful.
Or your Boki Knockbar. A couple.
You're Josh Rosen.
He definitely is Josh Rosen.
I'm definitely not Josh Rosen.
Yes, you are. No. The Josh Rosen, the barbecue.
Your brisket is.
No.
Well, your some brisket people say your brisket is.
Your brisket is that Cardinal season that Josh authored, that got
Wrong.
Kyler drafted.
Wrong. They got a first rounder, didn't they, from you guys?
Yo, no, it was a second and a five or whatever.
Second
and they
five.
And they had to give up something. Along with Josh Rosen.
Is Josh in the trash now? Where is he now?
I think he's with isn't he with the Jets or something?
Is he with
I
the Jets?
I knew he was going to be.
And he didn't get on the field?
Well,
I tried to tell Dell was trying to have his back.
No, he's
I
with
told
Tampa.
You Josh was going to be a failure.
He's with Tampa? Oh, that's right. He'll never get on the
mentally,
field.
Mentally, he's just.
You mentally? What do you mean mentally? Is he dumb?
No, he's just not mentally tough, and he's not in it. People think he's going to be out of football because he doesn't really care about football.
Well, the second.
And he definitely doesn't like being coached. That's what former coaches say. More
which
than one.
Which Jim Mora Jr.?
Well,
more than one.
He was a tennis player, right?
Well, yeah, he loved the individual sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a guy who said, but why? He's got to be explained. Like, he wants to challenge.
I want answers
I had
too,
a coach,
Lance.
And it was not Jim Mora. I had a coach who told me that Josh Rosen always, like, he had to have reasonings for everything because he just couldn't, like, a coach just couldn't just say, this is what we're doing. Josh would say, I don't understand. You're going to have to. Why are we doing this? Because I don't know that this is a good plan. Like, well, I'm the OC. I mean, I don't know.
No offense to the OC, but maybe Josh has some pertinent questions for the UCLA OC. The UCLA OC?
That's why he's on his third team.
The UCLA OC he was asking questions of? I can't fault him for that because that program stunk under Jim Moore Jr. I ain't going to blame him for that. I'll blame him for the other stuff. But was it Jed Fish or something who was asking questions of?
I'm telling you.
You said the OC. It's not that many. I can guess. Don't worry. I got Google. I can figure it out.
I know you can. But there's a few in there because no one liked playing. No one liked coaching him.
Wasn't it Alonzo was with some people he asked about Josh Rosen and they rolled their eyes. And remember, Alonzo caught a bunch of hell for that. You're not going to take him because somebody rolled their eyes.
He was in line to get on a plane or something.
And the guy rolled his eyes and said,
"Oh, it was like volleyball players or something."
No, you're right. Yeah. It was a volleyball player who knew him.
It was a volleyball player. He's in line like, "Oh, you guys know Josh Rosen?" They're like, "Oh, God."
Yes, and Alonzo caught a hell.
He just mentioned that.
It's not like they didn't take him because of that. But he mentioned that. Oh, you're not. What an idiot! You're not going to take a guy because somebody rolled their eyes.
The NFL media loves
his own coach said, "I'd rather have Sam Darnold than Josh Rosen." Everyone, well, excuse me. He's like, No. Just
say it.
No. I thought you said
Spider.
No, you said, if I was a coach at USC, who would I rather have? No, wait, what? And then he got on NFL Network with us that year. And during breaks, he's like, Lance, man, this is so blown out of proportion what I said. Like, Josh, every segment, Josh is a great kid. He was trying to do damage control. Every segment we had, he's like, you know, the guy I would be drafting is Josh Rosen.
Get out of here. Shut up, Jim Mora.
Get out of here. You already said what you said. Stop.
All right, start with Craig DeSerf. What did Craig DeSerf say yesterday?
He was up here yesterday. We were talking about, you know what? He wanted to do a commercial that just thanked everybody. He wasn't even selling product. He wanted to thank Houston listeners. He wanted to thank our listeners for being a patron. So for being a patron of his, he wanted to thank you. And so many people, one of the things that I found I was a little surprised, is how many cars were sold in trucks and SUVs during the pandemic. And people were buying it at a huge rate. And it's because people understood the factories were going to stop producing for a while in manufacturing. But his lot is getting more full and more full and more full. And the offers are great. And it's the same friendly atmosphere. It's the same people working there for years and years because it's a great place to work. And they want to treat you like you're a family member. And I know a lot of people say it, but if you go experience it yourself, you'll see the Craig DeSerf and Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. They're just different. Start the car buying process online at LanceZCars.com or simply just take a look. Just take a look at what they're offering and see if it might be the right time for you to get that brand new vehicle and give yourself an early holiday gift.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
Ice water turn Atlantic, night calling in a phantom. Told them, hold it, don't you panic. Took an island, felt the mansion. Drop the roof, more expensive.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
La Raza, ¿qué pasó, mijo? La Raza was just at my house. How about that? Dell? La Raza made it to my house before you did.
And that wasn't an upset. I mean, that was a favorite. Name any listener, and that'll be the favorite.
My wife's like, La Raza's here. I was like, what? That's my boy.
He introduced himself as La Raza?
Yeah, tell Johnny G. Okay.
And I told Dell, like,
rest in R.I.P. Rahil. Mm-hmm.
And he said, imagine that you just get a phone call, and your wife just says, La Raza's here. What?
What?
What? Hold on. What's happening? Is everyone safe? What do you mean La Raza's there?
Chances are.
He's dropping something off.
Chances are if you deliver anything, you're going to be at my house because my wife buys everything everywhere.
No, but you got to bring all that stuff from your old house and put it in your new house.
No, that's all done. This is all new stuff.
What do you mean done?
Where did it go? All that old stuff from the old house?
Where did it go?
That don't fit.
Where'd it go? It didn't fit?
No.
Did it get through the door?
No.
Well, hold on. Where did it go?
I don't know. I really don't know because we have new.
My daughter would like some of your wife's stuff.
All her, yeah. Yeah.
My daughter went.
This house is even more gold than the last one.
My daughter went into. My daughter was. I feel like having my daughter with Wendy was a good thing and a bad thing. My daughter loves powerful women. Yeah. Loves them. Yeah. The women's suffrage. Like she wants to vomit that women couldn't vote from the very beginning. That they couldn't be in the first Olympics. She's just like, what kind of world was this? But then, the other part is that. She really liked all of Wendy's purses.
Yes.
And Wendy gave her a purse or gave her something, and Madi is like, she's told. I'm like, oh, my God.
You got to bring her to the new house.
This could be a problem.
There's, oh, she should have been there when we were moving. She could have grabbed this, and I want this.
I know. Yeah. I know. That was, oh, here you go, honey. Here's like 10 sets of earrings and 5 purses.
Yep.
Bang, bing, boom. I do want to mention, so I didn't know about this. There's a fantastic documentary out about Sam Cooke. I grew up a huge Sam Cooke fan, musician. You know, he sings, God, there's so many things. I'd Love You for Sentimental Reasons. He sings You Send Me. He's a singer from the 50s and 60s. And he's got a really interesting background. And what I had heard, Sam was like, came up through the, Sam came up through, you know, church music and gospel. And then he had his, you know, kind of white people music where he was, and he was great. He had a beautiful voice, just beautiful voice. Same thing with Nat King Cole, had something kind of similar, but there's two very different types of Sam Cooke music. Well, I was watching this documentary and I'd always heard that Sam Cooke got killed in a hotel because he was messing around with the preacher's wife. That's what I had always, that's what I'd been told once when I was a kid. And that's what I believed was true. And then I watched this documentary and it turns out, that's really not what happened. Sam was more than likely set up by someone, and I want to say it was like it was set up by a prostitute, and now Sam had a, I don't know, that's, it goes into way more detail in this documentary about Sam Cooke, but one of the things that came out of it, Sam was I didn't realize he was an activist at all, that he had an activist background, that he did some things. One thing that happened that I had no idea about until I saw this documentary, and I'm wondering if this movie's being made because of the documentary, is that it's called One Night in Miami, and they talk about this in this documentary, and I'm like, holy crap, I've never even heard of it. They had a picture, too. It was Cassius Clay. It was after he had a big win in Miami. Who did he beat? Is that when he beat Liston? Anyway, it was when Cassius Clay... one, Malcolm X, Jim Brown, and Sam Cooke were there. But I wanted to say there's another time when Lou Alcindor, at the time he would have been Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But no, he would have been Lou Alcindor then. I thought maybe there was a time when he was there, but I guess not. Anyway, they had a night where they're all in the same hotel room talking.
I've seen that picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's, and I was like, what the hell, Sam Cooke? And yeah. You know, I was a huge Muhammad Ali fan, Cassius Clay. I mean, Muhammad Ali, Sam Cooke. And I'm like, holy crap. Sam Cooke was there for that fight with Malcolm X, Jim Brown, and then you find out they're all talking about
in Miami
what they're going to do. So that was after the Liston fight. Yeah. They're talking about what they want to do, and Sam was way more active. And Regina King is directing this movie, so there's already talk that it could have Oscar buzz. They've got a very good cast with it too. But One Night Miami premieres on Amazon Prime Video on January 15th. So it will be interesting how that goes. But this is just something that I never knew about Sam Cooke, that he had those friends in his background, that he was more than just a kind of a singer. And Sam Cooke is just, his music is just fantastic. But anyway, just throwing that in there if any of you guys are big movie fans and fans of historical stuff like that. I am kind of pissed after watching Queen's Gambit that it's not based on fact. It's not based on a real person.
Yeah, me too. I told you that. Yeah.
And apparently a lot of people online, like there's a lot of people, is this real? Is this real? Did it happen? Like everyone's disappointed when they find out it didn't happen. Because the things that go on in this movie series are so, it follows non-traditional paths of movies. So you feel like it's like this must have really happened, with the way that this story
and,
goes.
And they put Paris 1968 and they put all this stuff and you're like, damn, this is not real. I thought for sure.
The only person I got in a rabbit hole, I was looking up that girl and where she's from and all that stuff. The only person that's so a technical consultant was Garry Kasparov, as you might.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask him about playing Borgov or whatever, the Russian, but he's like, nah, I'm good. But the guy Benny with the hat and the cheesy mustache, he was loosely based on Bobby Fischer. So that was the only person that was kind of loosely based on. It was loosely based on Bobby Fischer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there was no character like Beth Harmon in the.
No, there's no woman. Like no that. Woman's ever won a championship, a world championship.
She got fine as that movie went on.
I didn't notice. I just cared about the chess playing, and I wanted. I'm an ally, and I wanted her to win.
Are you though?
Yeah, yeah. I wanted her to
that's
win.
What you're watching,
win the world championship, and I want that to happen.
You didn't notice when she had womanhood. Like the scenes, the last couple episodes, and she's drinking, and she just has.
I like that about her.
Well, I know that, but she's dancing. What about when she's got Ripple bottles of Ripple? I wouldn't even know what Ripple is, except for Sanford and Son growing up.
Right.
And she's chugging Ripple. Like, what the hell is happening?
That's what people
here?
Did back then.
They just chugged Ripple
and then took a whole lot of
tranquilizers.
And Mad Dog.
You know that the people say, if I could get these three people in a room for a dinner, I'd pick this person, this person, this person. Lance, you had an interesting thought about Beth Harmon and who you'd want her to have dinner with, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that from a women's empowerment standpoint, Kay Adams. Who's the leader of Good Morning Football?
Okay.
And then the hottest, one of the hottest actors right now, that Aria Johnson Taylor, whatever her name is.
What?
I'm just going to call her Beth Harmon.
Anya Taylor Joy?
Yeah, Beth Harmon.
No, it's not Beth Harmon.
Her name is Beth Harmon.
Anya Taylor Joy.
What is it?
That's her real name.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's too long.
Close.
Beth Harmon.
It's not her name.
Queen's Gambit, that's all.
So I would want Beth Harmon. No, I actually want the actress because I was digging around like she can be in this dinner.
Okay.
So her it's a women's empowerment thing. So
yeah,
it's
clearly
it's Kay Adams, it's her, and I guess I'll go back to my old reliable Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who also is a very powerful character in that Birds of Prey movie. I saw some of it, terrible, but she is very
tough
in this movie. Yeah,
she's powerful.
So women of power dinner right there. And then
do you want to be there?
You can stream it. A pay-per-view, just see what they talk about. Yeah, I'd like to be there and just see what they're talking about.
Huh? Like one Hollywood Reporter, they do those round tables of actors or whatever.
You want
one of those things?
James Lipton kind of thing, but with three people.
Let me ask you a question. While they're eating, are you going to be over in the corner?
No, see, I knew you were. I knew that it wouldn't take you long to go to a corner bomb. I knew that you would take it somewhere where it wasn't designed to go.
Well, you just want to watch them eat?
No, talk.
Oh.
They don't have to eat. No, but it's a dinner, right?
Well,
they don't have to have dinner.
It's a dinner.
It's a dinner.
It could be cocktails. I'd rather have it not be dinner. I'd rather have it be cocktails.
Yeah. You don't want
to just have them talk about, this is what I feel like.
Involved?
This is what I feel like needs to happen. This is what I feel like. Tell me about your excellence in that movie.
So you don't want
to
sit in a corner and watch
I don't want to be
eat.
In a corner.
You don't want to watch him eat, is what you're saying.
No. I don't want to be in a corner. I'm not going to do this corner thing that you guys do.
Just sit in a chair and watch him eat.
You say it all the time. But Dell actually is kind of the godfather of the corner talk.
Yeah, no, I'm not. He's the godfather.
I may be.
No, he's a godfather.
No, I'm not reading any more of these pass interference tweets. Y'all can just.
But let's be clear. Lance wants to sit in a room while three women, sit around and talk, I guess.
A woman empowerment.
He wants to be there for the women's empowerment.
While they're slurping drinks.
Ally.
No, you're not.
Not an ally. I'm the ally.
Are you, though?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a chance.
I'm way more of an ally.
Mm-hmm.
No, your conversation before the show started kind of illustrated there's no chance you're an ally.
Pfizer and BioNTech file for emergency use of COVID-19 vaccine in the U.S. today. It's official, as we talked about yesterday. So the first set of they're banking on it being a yes. So they're already shipping them out. Like they're already on the trucks or whatever.
Are, yeah.
Whatever you send them in. I don't know what it is.
No. Local hospitals are going to have them.
Yeah.
And
guess what they're going to say?
There's already a start date.
Guess what they're going to say? Hard yes.
Yes.
What's the start date?
8:42 ESPN 97.5.
Break it. What's the start date?
Well, it will be the first day. December 1st.
December 1st.
December 1st.
Okay.
So they're already on their way.
You heard it there. December 1st.
I can say that.
It's going to be at It's going to be at all the Walgreens. So you guys buy that stock right now. Buy that stock right now because I got some Walgreens shares.
No. Not at all the Walgreens.
It's not going to be
at
Walgreens.
Masks at CVS's, but
yeah. You can get those.
Yeah. Time to talk about GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com and get the most for your vehicle. I did for mine. I sold Frankie my car. Sold Frankie's car to John Clay Wolf. And I got the most that I could possibly get for it. I mean, it's not even close. Here's the deal. If you're looking for the most for your vehicle, John Clay Wolf is here for you. He's also here now. He's a little disappointing lately because he sold out to L.A. He sold out to L.A., and now he's a little disappointing. But listen, before he goes on in L.A., you can listen to him here. He'll probably say stuff that is embarrassing. And he's with us right now on ESPN. Am I right? Before you actually, aren't you on the air here first, and then you go, and then you're on in L.A.
for hours? Yeah, the last 2 hours, I'm on in Los Angeles. Right. Well, really, you did it because you kept betting me. I know you're going to get kicked off. I know you're going to get kicked off, and you like weren't being cool or friendly about it. You're kind of being a dude.
No, I was. It was my prediction, and I actually put some money down at mybookie.ag. Okay, so I actually got money on this, and you already hit the over, if you want to know the truth. I did not think you would last 2 weeks in L.A. And you know, and it's going to come, there's going to come to a point where you're going to go, can't do this anymore. I can't be politically correct.
This is a valid statement. I mean, at what point is it not worth it anymore?
Right. It's just money, and you've got enough of that. Well,
and I've got pride, and pride is you know, watching Dave Chappelle on Saturday Night Live about 3 weeks ago really was inspiring because he was not politically correct. I don't know if you watched his monologue.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like it was another Janet Jackson boob event, except backwards. Like, he's going to bring us back to where we were, which was normal. And I'm excited about that. I would like to not have to tiptoe through the tulips all the time.
Right. Well, hopefully the world will get back to where it was, right? Everybody wants it to be back there. Dell's like, yeah, that's what I want. I want it back in that world. But on a lighter note, GiveMeTheVIN.com. You'll buy their car. You bought my car, and you bought Frankie's car, my daughter's car, and you gave it more than it was worth. And that's what you do every single day, right?
Right. I need to send you this song that somebody made, or the Bible made about We Buy the Cars as a Barry Manilow knockoff. You'll enjoy it. You can play it on the show.
We buy the cars that make the whole world.
Yeah, do you remember that one?
Yeah, right. That's Give Me the Vin. John Clay Wolf, have a good show tomorrow. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. A reminder, our golf tournament raising money for ProVision is December 3rd, and we want you to come and play. As a matter of fact, we're working on a plan that it could be really, really good. So, but there's plenty of spots available, for you to put in a team or individual, however you want to do it. Go to ESPN975.com, ESPN975.com, and look up the golf tournament, and you can come and play with us. It'll be a fun day, December 3rd at Wildcat Golf Club. We'll be doing the show live from there. JVG is going to be there already. We know that. He's going to be playing with me, and that'll be some kind of fun. And we'll see who else is going to be playing. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. You know, it's kind of funny. James is going to work his way out of here. Like, he's going to take his ball and go home. I'm going home. I don't want to play here anymore. And Tillman's going to catch the brunt of it. How is Jay? Who's going to be Who's? I would think
Tillman hasn't built up any goodwill.
No,
with
but
Rocket
he just offered him $103 million. That is a fact. I mean, not like remember Carlos Beltran went to the Mets and he signed for $100 million, and then the Astros, but Uncle Drayton said afterwards, "Well, we tried to get him. We offered him $100 million too." Well, no, you didn't. You really didn't. You offered it after he already took the Mets offer. Mm-hmm. This is real. He offered him $103 million,
right?
$50 million, $50+ a year to meet, be the first $50+ a year, and James said no. You know, I don't know which is worse, Gordon Hayward opting out of $34 million, or James saying, I don't need 50. Okay. I mean, that's a lot. $103 million for 2 years is a lot of money. And James said no. So when it's all said and done, I mean, James never didn't win. James didn't come up clutch. James had his San Antonio game 6. He had 0-for-27. James had 11 turnovers. James had plenty of really crappy elimination. There's a reason he's called Elimination James, okay? Because he's had a lot of crappy. Yet, when it's all said and done and he leaves, I think Tillman's probably going to catch it worse than he does.
Yeah, because like I said, James has been MVP. James has been a league scorer. One guy has done nothing with the Rockets. That's a statement.
Well, he owned him when Chris Paul pulled his hamstring.
Right, I get that.
They were right there.
It's still a statement of fact that there's not going to be any good feelings with Tillman for Tita. Nothing has happened in a positive. And I don't think anyone loved Les Alexander. No one. I thought Les is a pretty good owner for the Rockets. No one loved him more than anything. He actually had more negative about him. He won 2 championships. Like. Carpetbagger, this, that, and the other.
Well,
a lot of people said negative. He's a junk bond salesman. Like, all I cared about is, did he make moves that helped the Rockets win? And he did anything Daryl wanted to do with aggressive stuff with Scottie. Well, actually, Scottie Pippen was Carroll. But the Tracy McGrady stuff. In fact, every move he wanted to make, Les is like, yes, yes, yes. Tillman is going to, he's already publicly talked about, or there's already articles, Sam Quinn's got one, CBS Sports, about the plan is for Tillman to, he wants to make sure he's under luxury tax and slash costs. He's hell, quote-unquote hell-bent on it. Retweeted something about luxury tax. People, it's smart. I mean, it's realistic, but people don't want to hear that. Look, he could have gone as far into the luxury tax as you wanted. That wasn't going to matter with this Rockets team. So, really, he can go on to luxury tax. Tillman, this Rockets team is not winning a championship. It's just not. So no matter how far into luxury tax he wanted to go, it wasn't going to matter. But for a lot of Rockets fans, it doesn't matter. That's going to be something that they can come after him for. There's people, a lot of James fans who feel like probably, well, Daryl Morey. There still is a lot of Daryl Morey fans who said, wow, we chased out our general manager. He didn't want to work for Tillman. Tillman didn't have his back whenever the Hong Kong tweet came out.
Are you kidding?
No, I saw people who say he should have had his back, freedom of speech and all that stuff. To me,
had his back. He lost. If somebody loses you $25 million, are you kidding? He didn't fire him. Listen, a lot of people thought he should have been fired immediately.
No, but he shouldn't be fired for that. But I'm with you. I'm just telling you, the general public is and also Tillman also has some. There's been articles about stuff about, you know, paying off people having to sue him to get their money for stuff. Like Tillman is a big personality in the city, but he's not without some blemishes too.
Oh no, absolutely.
And I think that's the problem is it looks like this is the guy who's wrecking the Rockets. Yeah. When the reality is it was time for the Rockets for reconstruction. And Tillman shouldn't be paying luxury tax
for this team
that for a 7 or 8 seed. That's stupid.
Well, and everybody's all over. Don't run around like because he's a restaurateur, because that's how he runs his restaurants and everything else. Don't run like a restaurant. I'm telling everybody. The Dodgers just won the World Series. You know how many layoffs they just had this week? You know how many layoffs the Dodgers had this week? And they just won the World Series. Well, they should be selling. I mean, no, this is how pro franchises are run. They run it like a business behind the scenes, and then they pay all the players. But, again, go into spend money, go into the luxury tax. For what? For who? For what? You think you're winning a championship here? You think this is a championship team? No. I bet you, Tillman, I'm just telling you, Tillman would spend the money if it was worth it, if it was worth it. This team ain't worth going $82 million into the luxury tax.
No, no, of course.
It's not.
Of course not.
It's not a championship team.
I don't know that he necessarily would spend it in this year based on the financial hits he's had. And that's the other thing. People have argued that he is too leveraged in his restaurant industry, in his people on the Twitter yesterday were saying he's the brokest billionaire in the world. And there's probably some truth to that in terms of how leveraged he is in his restaurant holdings and in his, you know, he's an acquisition guy, and that's, you got to borrow and you're not liquid all the time when you're trying to acquire. It takes a lot of funding and you got to pay people back. And so I think there would be a concern that he got his ass handed to him financially. Casinos, everything's hospitality industry for him. That's the worst thing during the pandemic. Restaurants and casinos, ass kickings.
Yeah.
I mean, they got their asses kicked. So I don't not feel for him from a financial standpoint, but I also don't think it's a guarantee that if they were in position, he would have spent all this extra money. But it's irrelevant to me because they're not there. So I don't care right now. They're not in that position. And I think it's best for him to take kind of a back. But this is the problem. He's always in the public.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on Power Lunch on CNBC. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's always out there.
Reality show.
This isn't Les Alexander who can slide into the background. Like Drayton. Drayton's always probably making comments. You just get sick of seeing his dumb face. Like, Drayton McLean again. This guy. It would really benefit, I think, if he was able to, Kay's just throwing her hair around. It would really benefit. What was I saying? It would really benefit.
Can you turn that off?
Tillman.
He can't concentrate with Kay Adams throwing her hair around.
Tillman could.
He's thinking about.
Just turn it off, Dale. I don't.
Okay, he's sitting over here in the corner.
No.
Watching. Just get it.
I don't want to. I don't want to talk
about Queen's Gambit all morning.
Queen's Gambit all.
Kay Adams.
So, yeah, if Tillman didn't have to be out in public so much, it would probably help him just to kind of.
Yeah, but
no more Tillman. But that's not his jam. Tillman likes being in public.
Well, you think?
Yeah.
The guy with the reality show.
Yeah. Yes, that was my first. That was my first clue that he might like to be in public was a reality show.
All right, 713-780-3776.
He's a Kardashians of the acquisition industry.
Yes, of the money world. Yeah, 856 ESPN 97.5. Time to talk to my bookie. We're gonna go by the lines on my bookie. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. It's so easy. I went. Ooh, I like this game. And I'm going to tell you what game I like. I like Minnesota. I really like Minnesota over the Cowboys this week by 7. All right. That's just me, though. All right. Already played it. Already played that. And I would have played Seattle last night. That's how smart I am. Okay. But here's the deal is I don't know what your plays are. You might have a better play. You might think the Cowboys are a great play. That's dumb. But okay. If you feel that way, that's on you. What I think is that you should go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio, and play and win and get paid. And that's what they do. And double your initial deposit, which nobody else does. So if you're looking for the best way to play, easy to navigate website, it's mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
ESPN 97.5.